Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, the founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to my show. This is Marvin Gully, your host on Blog Talk Radio, Life Coach Radio Network. Tonight, I will be talking to you about the third part of my series, I Am. Tonight, we'll be talking about self-identity. And if you're struggling with your self-identity, hopefully after tonight's show, you'll be able to have a more clear picture of, how you identify yourself and the type of person you are and your values and what you believe in life. But before we start tonight's show about self-identity, let's review for a minute here, take a minute to review my last few shows. The first one was on self-esteem. Self-esteem is about how you feel about yourself. You know, what kind of feelings do you have? Do you have positive feelings about yourself? What do you believe about yourself? And self-image, my second show, and that's about how you picture yourself. You know, what kind of person do you see yourself as? Who do you see yourself as? What do you see yourself contributing to society and to the world? So, and both of those, from self-esteem to self-image, I want that to catapult me into tonight's show on self-identity. And the reason why these topics are passionate to me is because of living the life that I've lived. I've struggled with my identity, and I still have a hard time with it, for the simple fact that, you know, life is always changing, your experiences are always changing, and now mine are changing for the better, which I'm happy for. But I think this process is going to be a lifetime journey, just, you know, with this self-identity and understanding who I am. And I personally believe that that's, you know, who you are is dependent on that moment in time. You know, what are you relating to in your situation that's going on in your life at that moment? And, of course, what I always like to do, because I'm not an expert on any of these topics, I can only tell you from experience what I've been through in my life and what's led me to each situation, be it good or, you know, a hard situation, a hard time. I'm going to give you some facts, you know, that I've read. A great friend of mine printed off for me and showed me some stuff that I really believe is going to help a lot of people, you know, with issues in life, from, you know, esteem, image, to identity. So let's start with defining self-identity. There's a couple of different definitions, but me personally, I like one of them. This is the one I think is from Webster's offline, but definition of self-identity. Self-identity or self-concept is one's concept of oneself, including the perceptions one has about one's abilities, flaws, status, and worth. Sociologists study how self-identity develops, especially in relation to social factors. One influential view of self-identity is that of George Herbert Mead, who argued that a person does not begin life with a self, but rather develops a self and self-consciousness by interacting with others. In the early 1900s, Charles Horton Cooley developed the looking glass self theory, according to which one shapes one's self-identity by believing that one has the characteristics that others attribute to one. Metaphorically, a person functions like a mirror, reflecting back to others what they see in oneself. So that's a pretty broad definition there on self-identity. A more shorter version of that is awareness of and identification with oneself as a separate individual. So pretty much distinguishing yourself and setting yourself apart from any other person, you know, that's walking this planet, which I personally believe we all do, because we all have a gift in us, and our gift is going to distinguish us and set us apart, but it's up to us to find that gift, and we're going to find it through, you know, the good times and the bad times in life. You know, we're going to develop a character. We're going to develop, you know, an identity. you know, based off those things. Now, I said earlier, you know, I don't believe your identity stays the same because it pretty much is based off circumstances, you know, what you're going through in life. You know, for instance, when I grew up, I identified with some pretty harsh things, you know, drugs, violence, fighting, alcohol, and a lot of those things. Those were early experiences that I identified with. And at the time, it didn't seem like anything was wrong with them. But as I grew and matured as a person, I didn't identify with them things anymore at that moment, you know, at that time, because my life progressed for the better and I started getting educated on certain things and you know, with jobs and, you know, being able to contribute to society instead of just, you know, causing problems in society. So my the things I identify with, you know, they changed. You know, who I am is always growing and getting better based on what I want to accomplish at a present moment. So, you know, I wrote that down saying that depending on where I want to go in life, that's what I'm going to identify with and relate to. You know, and I have I work as a personal trainer. So as a personal trainer, I'm always helping people, and I've said this in other shows, you know, build self-esteem and their self-image. And so, you know, what they identified with when they first started training with me was being overweight or being underweight, you know. But whatever they identified with when they started, by the time they're finished, you know, with me, hopefully they identify with something better, you know, better health, more energy, that kind of thing. So that's what I mean by things change as what you identify with and to. So I used to identify, you know, with people who had, you know, I identify with people who've made the mistakes that I have in life, you know. And why? Because I understand, you know, for the most part, their experiences and what they've been through. I understand their, you know, their joys and their pains, you know. I can't identify with somebody who was, you know, born with, you know, the most amount of money possible, you know, just the glamour side of life. I can't identify with somebody like that because they've never pretty much, you know, and I could be wrong saying this, but I don't believe that they've experienced a lot of the hard times that I have, unless they had parents that, even though they had money and wealth and all this, they didn't raise them to understand that they had that, but they raised them as, you know, sort of middle class or almost as less than, you know, middle class. But, you know, so I couldn't identify with somebody who can go to the bank and withdraw as much money as they want at any given time. That's not what I can identify with. I identified with struggle. I identified with, you know, need, you know. I identify with not having enough money at the end of the month. You know, that's what I identified with before. So I can relate to people like that now. I'm on the upper scale of things now. I identify with a little more success, a little more confidence in my abilities and who I am. So as life goes, we tend to change who we identify with. So another good thing I'd like to read here is, you know, we often ask the question, who am I, you know? So who am I and why am I here? What is my purpose in life? They're critical parts of understanding ourselves and defining our self-identity. Simply distinguishing ourselves from other people makes defining our identity a social comparison. So this is pretty much about society's role in self-identity. You know, even the most, I'm just going to read a little bit here, even the most simple of physical descriptors such as our height and weight can be evaluated socially. Are you tall or short? If you consider yourself tall, short, or even average, it is a comparison to other people in your social culture. Although weight is just a number, many people judge themselves based on other people's weight. In this example, society plays a huge role in defining what is acceptable through the media. In any historical cultures, weight was a sign of good health. In many historical cultures, weight was a sign of good health. Since food was scarce, weight was a sign of health, wealth, and therefore beauty. Those who were thin were easily identified as lower, working-class people, while the well-fed were likely rich and high birth. In society today, food is easy to obtain. A higher weight is not valued the same way it was in ancient times. Today, television has a tendency to use only the thinnest women and the most fit men, who are often professionals when it comes to looking good for the camera. How would you value your weight differently if you had no access to television and media? Most likely, you would consider yourself far more acceptable without the skewed ideas from the media. And that's a very good point. And I think I can relate to this because I have so many people that come in the gym, not only my clients, but I work with a lot of great trainers at the gym that I'm employed at. And all of us can vouch for this, that so many people come in the gym wanting to look like this person on TV, this person in the magazine, you know, just like it said about media hype and all this kind of stuff. But what they don't realize is, one, they don't understand the work ethic and what these people did to look like that. And then they don't understand, too, that a lot of times there's been cosmetic surgery done. There's been things done to them to help their bodies look the way they do. And so then when they see this kind of stuff, what they want to do is they want overnight results. They want this microwave success, you know, as far as losing the weight, as far as putting on the muscle, that kind of thing. And they're not enjoying the process and just knowing that, you know, hey, you know, my goal is 3 months, 6 months, and then create this lifestyle that I'm going to stay healthy, you know. So, but they get caught up in the media hype, and so they identify with that. And it's the wrong thing for them. Instead of identifying with the process and living healthy, they identify with the look. They identify with the six-pack. They identify with the slimness or the curviness. They identify with so many things. And then people don't tend to identify with what's possible for themselves. You know, everything isn't possible for everybody as far as, you know, I look at somebody on TV and say, oh, I want that. But is that possible for me? Genetically, can I have that? You know, is it realistic for me to walk into a gym and say, hey, look, I want to put on 20, 30 pounds of muscle. I want to do it in 6 months. You know, that might not be possible for you genetically. It may take you a year, or it might not even be possible for you genetically to put on that much muscle. So what we need to do is pay more attention to what we're capable of. You know, because I said earlier, we all have a gift. We all have, you know, genetically, we're inclined to different things. I see slim people all the time that they can eat so unhealthy, and they won't gain weight. But that doesn't mean that they're heart healthy. You know, it just means that, hey, I just don't gain a lot of fat. But they don't store a lot of fat, but yet their body can have clogged arteries. You know, you can't see that from the outside. So, you know, when we talk about identifying with these stars and the media and all this kind of stuff, you know, they're human just like us, and they have to do the same things that we have to do to stay in the same shape that we want to stay in. But, you know, they may have money to help them. You know, they may have money to help them. So, you know, that's about, you know, that's society's role in self-identity, which is, you know, a big, big idea. So also there's social identity. Clearly society plays an essential role in how we evaluate and define our self-identity. We cannot define our self-identity without the context of our society. So, you know, society as far as, you know, what we relate to socially from political throughout history, you know, there's been, you know, political, religious, and cultural groups that we've all, you know, identified with, you know, for instance, sports teams and stuff like that. There's an identity like I'm a New Orleans Saints fan, you know. I identify with them because I'm originally from New Orleans, you know, so that's what I identify with as a sports fan. You know, politically, I identify with nobody. I believe in views from every angle, so I don't really have a political group that I identify with. I can identify with everybody because I believe in everybody. You know, I believe all of us have a life and all of us have a right to see things the way our circumstances allow us to see them. You know, so I'm not going to get into politics or anything, but, and also religion, you know, religion plays a big role in society and what we identify with from being a Baptist. I grew up a Baptist, so I identify with the practice of the Baptist religion. Now, I don't practice religion. I just believe in the Holy Bible, and I believe in Jesus Christ and my Savior. So, you know, there's Catholics, there's Methodists, there's a lot of different religious organizations that people identify themselves with, also cultural groups, you know. So me personally, self-identity, this whole idea of self-identity is pretty much always going to change, always changing because we're growing, you know. And you have to look in the mirror and understand you. I've said this before, you know, from self-esteem to self-image. You know, we cannot let others dictate who we are. We can allow people to help us understand who we are and to help us, you know, to grow into getting better, but letting somebody dictate to you who you are, what you should be doing. You know, we should always be students and learning, you know, and as we go through life and process different things. But to be dictated to and told what you should believe about yourself and you know, we got to let go of that, you know. And I know it's not the school's responsibility to teach this. I'm a father. So as a father, it's my responsibility to teach my kids, help them understand who they are, and to help them to understand, you know, what their gift is, you know. So and they're going to find that out through experiences, through persevering through hard times, through enjoying other people's company and saying, hey, I like doing this, I like this, or I like what this person's involved in, I like what they're doing, and I like where they're going in life. And so learn to identify with what you like, you know, because you have a right to like what you like. You know, you should never be told, oh, you shouldn't like that. Well, you know, unless it's just immoral or it's me being a believer, you know, against, you know, God's word or whatever. But, you know, and we're all going to make those mistakes. You know, we're all going to make those mistakes. But it's not about the mistakes we make as much as it is about rebounding and recovering from the mistakes and trying to live life in a way that somebody coming up behind us can say, hey, they're leading with a good example. I can identify with that person. You know, I can identify with the way this person is taking care of business or growing in life every day, reading and watching positive stuff on TV. And, you know, I like to talk about real quick, you know, from media and music and a lot of things. You know, for instance, a lot of kids, you know, I have a daughter that's 15 years old, and so the music that she listens to that I have to, you know, tell her not to listen to. See, a lot of those things that our kids are listening to, we're letting, as parents, we are letting these entertainers who we know what they're saying and what they're doing isn't right or whatever, you know, but we're letting this stuff in our kids' minds, and that's what they believe in. You know, you can't even turn on a radio today and listen to music without it being cursing or without it being something derogatory towards women or whatever. You know, to each his own. I'm not telling nobody what to listen to, but as far as trying to raise kids in this society today, I can understand how they said, you know, back in the day it took a village it took a village or a community to raise a child. Because, you know, if your kids walked out of the door and a neighbor down the street seen them doing something wrong, they would say something. Excuse me. They would say something to them and there would be no problem. Now, you know, I'm hearing on the news where you can't even whip your kids. You can't even do it. I understand that, you know, not saying their names or anything like that, that it might have been overboard or a little extreme. But me personally, I can relate to a lot of kids that grew up and their parents, you know, whooped them, and you know, there wasn't anything said. There was no problem, and we turned out to be okay. Nowadays, you know, if a police officer, you know, if he pulls you over and you resist arrest, they're going to slam you on the car, they're going to spray you with mace, they're going to do all kinds of stuff to you. But as a parent, I can't chastise my child because they're doing wrong, but once they get in the hands of the police officer, now they can just do whatever they want with them. They can throw them in behind bars like a caged animal and feed them crap, whatever they want to feed them. But if that was being done in my household, you know, my kids would be taken from me. So in helping to shape our kids with their identity and helping them to understand, we have to listen to what they're listening to. We have to be there to let them know this isn't what life is about. You know, it's just not about this, what's going on in this music, this fast money, this and all that, because that's what they're going to identify with, and then that's what they're going to go out and think that it's okay to do, because they're not understanding that this person that's singing this song is an entertainer. You know, they're just doing this to entertain you, to enthuse you, and so they're selling records. You know, so as parents, we're here to shape and mold our kids to help them understand who they are and, you know, not tell them who they are, but help them to understand who they are by telling them what's right and what's wrong and letting them make the decision on, you know, well, they're not going to make a decision as their child, but when they're grown as an adult, they can make the right decisions for their life and then, you know, create the family that they want, you know. So also I was on a site today called Psychology Today, and they asked the question, who am I? People who ask this sort of question are typically struggling with their identity. The emphasis shouldn't be on discovering who you are, what is buried beneath, but on facilitating the emergence of what kind of life you'd like to experience. Our identity should be seen as an ongoing process. We should always be reframing, reorganizing, rethinking, and reconsidering ourselves. So if you're struggling with your identity, which we all are, you know, we all do at some point, even when we think we have it figured out, there's just going to be times where, you know, life is at a standstill, and that's because you're not growing. You know, what you've been identifying with now, it starts to get mundane and old, and now you're miserable and unhappy because you want to grow. Well, now it's time to identify with something new. It's time to reorganize, reframe, reconsider, rethink. You know, it's time to do all that kind of stuff because now you've experienced this this part of life for so long, it's normal. There's no joy in it. There's no pleasure in it, so you're not growing. So if you're always rethinking and reconsidering who you are, where you're at this moment, then you can continue to grow, just like John Maxwell's book, Today Matters. You know, today matters. You know, and today matters because your today is going to dictate your tomorrow. You know, so if you're not going to you know, do any of those, you know, reorganize, rethink, or reconsider today, then tomorrow's going to be the same. And then the next day is going to be the same. You know, so those are the type of things that you have to do. And as you grow in life, and I'm looking to experience this because I actually was given I went to look for a world map and couldn't find one. And I was given one by a good friend, and I bought a map of the United States because what I'm doing in my life, I'm looking at where I want to go. I'm looking at where I want to carry my business in my life. I'm identifying with these other parts of the country, you know, in vision. I'm identifying with them in a vision to say, hey, I want to go to Africa one day. I want to walk, you know, I have a client of mine that they're in Italy right now. They're walking the path that Paul walked, you know, out of the Bible, the Apostle Paul. So, you know, I want to be able to experience those things. So I was given this map, and I look at it every day, and I'm saying, hey, you know, one day my vision is to, you know, walk these places, go in these places. And that's what I'm identifying with now. Now, last year at this time, I couldn't identify with that because I didn't see that for myself. You know, now I can identify with it because it's in front of me. It's possible. I believe it's possible because I put that in front of me. And I'm a true believer in when you want to identify with certain things, you got to see it. You got to vision it. You got to put some belief in it by putting pictures or words or something in front of you to help you to identify with that you want to experience in that situation. So, you know, always ask yourself who you are at this moment, at this present time, with what I'm dealing with and what I'm going through. Because once you can figure out who you are, when you're always continuously growing, but who you are at that moment, not, you know, just who you are and this is all I'm going to be, but just always rethink and reconsider who you are. When you see that, I heard a pastor say that if there are certain things that you can't do in your life that you want to do, you know, look at your gift because we were all blessed with a gift to be able to have us, you know, without any debt, without any hunger, without any need. Our gift is supposed to provide the life that we want to live. You know, so whatever gift you have, your gift is enough. Now, you have to bring some talent and some skill to that gift, but your gift is enough. And so you always work on your talents. You always work on your skills, just like a professional athlete, just like a motivational speaker, always working on your talent. Your gift is already there. Your gift is natural. Your gift was given to you, and it's up to us to give our gift to the world. I personally believe I'm not a great speaker right now. I personally believe my gift is speaking. My gift is motivating and encouraging and uplifting people to live the life that they call to live, that they want to live, that they, you know, whatever path they want to go down. I truly believe that's my gift to help people do that, to help people see more in themselves than what they see when they look in the mirror. because I had to figure out a way to do that for myself. I didn't have anybody to tell me that I had this in me, that I had that in me. I only had one good friend that ever told me anything that I should do, and that was become a personal trainer. And that's what I'm doing now. I also have a real estate license, and I also have a home-based business. So, you know, I work from home with a wellness business. So some of these things that, you know, I've never been told, I had to find them myself. I had to, you know, just come up with these ideas myself to believe that I'm able to do this and I'm capable of doing that. You know, so it's, you know, living life is the entire time you live in life, you're always going to be working on your identity. There's, you know, I don't believe that there's always going to be a struggle, but there's always going to be a shift. There's always going to be a shift. You're going to go from this to that to this to that, and hopefully it's going from the bottom up, you know. So that's just a little bit on self-identity, and, you know, it's just something that's always changing. You know, it's always changing if you want to grow. And if you're not growing and getting better, you're not staying the same. You're getting worse because nothing stays the same. Everything's getting worse, and we're dying every day. We're born, and then we die, you know, because our life is going to end at some point. You know, I did a show last night, and one of the hosts, I was a co-host on the show last night, and one of the lady that was hosting the show, she said that, and I hope I don't mess this up too bad, but just to give you an idea, she said that a friend of hers was working at a nursing home, and the lady was in her 90s, and she just looked around and she said something like, where's my, you know, what happened to my life? I don't, you know, like as if she never lived her life. You know, she's as in her 90s, she's like blown away that this is it, you know. And from what I understand, she died maybe a week or two later. She didn't die like right then or the next day, but she knew she was on her deathbed, and at that point it was, you know, she said, what did I, you know, how did I live my life? I didn't have a life. You know, so I don't know what she identified with throughout her life, but, you know, we were given the freedom of choice. That's one thing about being in this country. We were given the freedom of choice, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So we're able to do it, and I think that we can do that with a better hope of success for doing it by building our self-esteem, building our self-image, and identifying with something that's going to always keep us growing. Be it from getting a world map pointing out places you want to visit, or, you know, from, you know, having a certain amount of money in the bank, wanting to volunteer or you know, help people or something. But something, if you're always reaching for something positive, it'll always have you growing. So that's my show for tonight. I thank you for listening, but I want to leave you with the call of action. I just want you to think about this here. So just take a moment and think about what would you say to someone who asks a simple question, who are you? Who are you? Right now, who am I? I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm a blessed person. You know, I know that I'm a speaker. You know, and there's a lot of things that I know I am, you know, but it doesn't identify me completely. You know, I know I'm doing some great things in my life, and I hope I'm helping other people do it. But just understand and think about that question. If somebody asked you who are you and what are you doing, how would you answer it? I thank you for listening to my show tonight. I look forward to doing my next show soon. And just thank you again, and good night.